Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies accompanying us. And I love that song. I think we sang it just last week in Platteville, Cornerstone. And it fits with my message today. It's amazing how the Lord does that. When Deborah was here, she often did that too. Now our father does it. But picked appropriate songs that ended up going right along with the message. The Holy Spirit was involved. John Basago once put it this way, because the title of my message is Faith Alone. He said, faith is the heart of life. Think of it. You go to a doctor whose name you can't pronounce. He gives you a prescription you cannot read. You take it to a pharmacist you have never seen. He gives you medication you do not understand, and yet you take it. You see the point? None of us go through a single day without living by faith. When you flip a switch, you put faith in the electrical wiring. When you turn the ignition switch in your car, you trust the starter and the motor. When you punch in a number on your cell phone, you put your faith in Verizon or U.S. Cellular, whichever one is yours. When you sit down right there in that pew, you trust it to support you. Everyone has faith in something or someone throughout the course of a day. But we're not talking about those objects of faith. We're going to be talking about Jesus, who is the object of our Christian faith. We're talking about believers who base their everyday lives on their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And our text this morning reminds us to put our faith in Jesus Christ alone. If you have your Bibles, you may want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to read from verse 22 through verse 33. Matthew 14, I'm reading from the NIV translation. Matthew 14, beginning at verse 22 and reading through verse 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they cried, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I would point out to you, first of all, on the basis of this text this morning, that it was Jesus who sent the disciples out on a sea where storms were possible. And it's my understanding that storms very often would come up suddenly on the Sea of Galilee. Friday, I was on my bus route Friday afternoon, and a storm came up fairly suddenly. And when I got back, because they tried to get a hold of me when I was actually on Cusmall Road, which some of you may know where that is, and I was down in the valley, and you can't tend to lose cell service there. So when I got back to the center, I had messages on my phone. The one from Tim Carty that said, Reverend, you better know that there's a storm coming in and be careful. There are high winds with it. And another that the new director tried to reach me on my own cell phone. The first one was on the bus cell phone. So I had all of this people concerned in that, but I was okay. And so was the bus. So were my passengers. But the storm came up fairly suddenly Friday. And I've had it happen too when I was at Crescent Lake Bible Camp as a director, saw storms that would come up suddenly on Crescent Lake, and it's a fairly large lake, and boy, you didn't want to be out there because the swells would come up and you would be in a lot of trouble, and it would be very dangerous. I've seen it where I would stand in the dining hall and see it pouring rain and flashes of lightning, and the storm had come up very suddenly, and you didn't want to be caught out on the lake in a boat at all. And so Jesus sent the disciples out on this lake where storms were very possible and often came up on the Sea of Galilee. Life is very much like that. Sudden, unforeseen changes, death, job changes, pandemics. We've all seen changes in these recent months. And the Sea of Galilee was about 7 miles at its widest point. And they had reached the point of no return. They were 3 to 4 miles on the sea. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, John also records this event in chapter 6 and verse 19. And John says in 6:19, when they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat. So they were 3 to 4 miles out in the sea, which was a point of no turning back. And life is like that often. We can't turn back. We can't reboot the situation like you can your computer. We have to keep going forward in faith. There are those sudden interruptions in life where we are in need of sustaining hope and help from Jesus. And this pandemic has brought sudden changes, financial challenges, health concerns, isolation from loved ones, perhaps rebellious children, and changes in home life, some who attempted to homeschool. I saw one on Facebook over the past months that said the child texted his mother early in the morning and said, I'm sick, I can't go to school today. There were all kinds of humorous ones like that. One was the mother had sent a note and said, I'm resigning as the principal. I will not take this job any longer. You got to have a little humor in the midst of chaos and change. But I would remind you that Jesus knows about your situation. And Mark's gospel tells us this, because Mark also records this incident in Mark's gospel in chapter 6 in verses 47 and 48, where this is recorded. Mark says this concerning this incident on the water. He says, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake and Jesus was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. So Jesus was well aware of their situation. He knows about your situation. Jesus didn't just send them out there and abandon them. He didn't send them on this excursion across the lake and just forget about them. No, he was very much aware of their situation. He knew exactly what was going on. He saw them. Jesus is God. God is what? God is sovereign. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. God is omniscient, all-knowing. God is omnipresent, everywhere present. In his omniscience, Jesus knew exactly what they were facing. He's God. Their rescue would not come by their human ability, because they were rowing madly. They were attempting to get through this. But their rescue would not come by their human ability, but by their Lord and Savior. Mark tells us that Jesus was up on the mountain in prayer. We just read that. And I think he was perhaps praying for the disciples, perhaps for others and himself. I mean, John 17, we know that if you read the prayer, the high priestly prayer as it's termed in John 17, that Jesus prayed in the upper room, that he prays for even us today. If you read through that prayer, you'll find that he not only prays for the disciples, he prays for all those who would come to faith in him eventually, even today, tomorrow. He prayed for all of us who would come to faith in him. So Jesus prayed for them, went to them, and took care of them. What storms are you going through? Who are you trusting in your storms? Who are you putting your faith in? We see the storms, and Jesus sees us. And Jesus prays for us, and Jesus knows our situation, as Mark says in verse 48 of chapter 6. And Jesus seeks us. He sees us, he comes to us. And so my second point would be simply that you find in this text that Jesus ministers to us in the midst of the storm. He ministers to the disciples, he ministers to us. Because we find that what he did in this text and what he did with the disciples, he does for us as well. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they were terrified and they said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." F.B. Meyer, some of you may know that name or not, but he was a great pastor at one point and theologian, wrote some books that some people have in their library. F.B. Meyer said, "He uses the element we dread as the path for his approach. The waves were endangering the boat, but Jesus walked on them." Let me read that again, because think about it. He says that he, that is Jesus, uses the element we dread as the path for his approach. The waves were endangering the boat, but Jesus walked on them. Sometimes in our lives, there are people and circumstances we dread, but it is oftentimes through those that the greatest blessing of our lives will come, if we look through them to Christ, if we look through those circumstances to Christ. The disciples did not recognize Jesus because they weren't looking for him. Life is a series of problems. Those are the times that Jesus shows us his power. Jesus demonstrates his power when we turn to him in faith and trust him. And Peter demonstrated his faith in Jesus when he stepped out of that boat. None of the other fellows said anything about attempting that. They didn't question Jesus if they could come to him on the water. Peter was impetuous, we know that. And some of us may have been guilty of that at times. I don't know if you would confess to that or not. I think Peter would. Interestingly enough, I don't know if you knew this. This is a sidebar. Mark's gospel is largely dependent on the testimony of Peter. John Mark, who you may recall, Barnabas and Paul argued about, John Mark was related, actually, his mother was related to Peter, and you find that in Acts. They were praying even for Peter when he was in prison. At whose home? John Mark's mother's home. Anyway, most Bible scholars and books that you can read will say that largely the Gospel of Mark is based upon the testimony of Peter and the things that he relayed to Mark, and John Mark wrote them down under the inspiration of the Spirit. You realize, in what we looked at already this morning, the cross-references in John and in Mark, that none of those talk about the fact that Peter stepped out of the boat. Check it out. None of them relate that part of this whole story. It's the exact same incident, but they don't relate the part about Peter stepping out of that boat and walking on water. Somehow that impressed, and the Spirit of God used it through Matthew to put it in here for us. But I'm sure that in a sense, impetuous Peter didn't relay that failure to trust the Lord totally to John Mark. And that was left out in Mark's gospel. It was left out in John's gospel. But it was preserved for us in Matthew's gospel. And so Peter demonstrated his faith, though, in Jesus when he stepped out of that boat. As long as Peter was looking at Jesus, the object of his faith, he was walking on the water. Peter only began to sink. He only began to sink when he began to evaluate his circumstances in light of his own fears. When he started to look around and began to see exactly what situation he was in. The waves are still rolling. The wind is still blowing. His fears caused him to doubt. And that's even recorded in the text here. When Jesus reaches out and saves him, Jesus said to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" Why did you doubt? His fears caused him to doubt. And the doubt began to cause disaster. He began to sink. And that, I think that happens to all of us at times. When instead of trusting the Lord, instead of really continuing to look to him in faith, we begin to doubt. We begin to assess the situation we're in from a human perspective, and we begin to doubt that the Lord can really handle it, that he can really stabilize us and keep us on that water, so to speak. We begin to doubt, and then when we do that, we shift our view from Christ to ourselves, because doubt comes from within us. And when Peter began to doubt, as Jesus said to him, he had little faith, but he had faith in Jesus, and he was walking on the water. But he said, "Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Are your fears causing you to lose your faith and trust in Jesus?" But the good news is when Peter expressed his faith in Jesus and cried out, "Lord, save me," immediately Jesus pulled him to safety. And Jesus will do the same for you, for me, when we call out to him. I don't know what your storm might be, but I do know that Jesus can help you through that storm. That's why I love this song, Cornerstone. I love the emphasis on the fact that we can trust him through the storm. Let me say this thirdly on the basis of this text. There, and it's in that song as well, there will be an end to all the storms of life. There will be an end, eventually, to all the storms of life. Jesus helped the disciples through this storm. He also brought the storm to an end. I mean, the text declares the winds ceased, the disciples worshiped, and they arrived at their destination immediately. In Mark's gospel, it's rendered that way in verse 21 of Mark's gospel, that immediately when Jesus spoke to them and climbed into the boat with them, verse 51, then the wind died down and they were completely amazed. So immediately he spoke to them, said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. I'm sorry, it was John 6:21. John's gospel, not Mark, I'm sorry. John 6:21 says this, "Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading." So the wind ceased, the disciples worshiped, and they arrived at their destination immediately, John says. So part of the miracle was not only the wind ceased, not only that, but that they arrived at their destination immediately, as is suggested by John's text. So in the midst of what took place, the disciples, and Peter as well, came to better understand the Lord and who he was. "Truly," they exclaimed as they worshiped him, "truly you are the Son of God." They came to know more about their rabbi that they had been following. They came to know more about the fact that this Jesus was not merely a man. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. Faith is strengthened by its being taken to extremities it has never faced before. Let me repeat that. Faith is strengthened by its being taken to extremities it has never faced before. Such strengthening is basic to Christian growth and maturity. And I think that Jesus was well aware of what was going to happen, as he knew exactly what was happening out on that sea. He was seeking to strengthen the faith of the disciples. And our faith in Jesus will get us through the storms in this life, and one day we'll be in his presence where all the storms will cease. Just last Saturday, I shared with Lyle and Linda that Pastor Don Roberts, he found out, he called me before the Memorial Day weekend. He found out about May 16th that he had a mass, large mass between his prostate and his bladder. He'd been having some real problems, and he finally listened to his wife. And he called me and told me what was going on. They had found this mass. It was at stage 4, and it was already in the bones. The week before last Sunday, the family had decided to put him in hospice house, which is there in Kansas near them. And this past Sunday afternoon, Father's Day, Don passed away into the presence of his Savior. It was that fast. When he had called me, because I had called him a year ago, when I found out I had prostate cancer, he had prayed with me, and he called me, and I had prayer with him at that time. But God took home a great servant, great brother. He and I shared a lot of laughter and tears together. But the storms are over for Don. He's in the presence of his Lord. And for all of us, one day the storms will be over, folks. And that's one of the great points of this text. I would close this morning with this illustration, because the title of this message is Faith Alone. In April 1988, the evening news reported on a photographer who was a skydiver. Get that, a photographer who was a skydiver. He had jumped from a plane along with numerous other skydivers and filmed the group as they fell and opened their parachutes. On the film shown on the telecast, as the final skydiver opened his chute, the picture went berserk. The announcer reported that the cameraman had fallen to his death, having jumped out of the plane without his parachute. It wasn't until he reached for the absent ripcord that he realized he was free-falling without a parachute. Until that point, the jump probably seemed exciting and fun, but tragically, he had acted with thoughtless haste and deadly foolishness. Nothing could save him, for his faith was in a parachute never buckled on. Faith in anything but an all-sufficient God can be just as tragic spiritually. Only faith in Jesus Christ, only with faith in Jesus Christ, dare we step into the dangerous excitement of life and into the storms of life. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come today thanking you for the record of your word. We thank you for this text and for what it says to our hearts, for what it reminds us of. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to strengthen us in our faith and our trust in our Lord and Savior. We thank you that we can trust him, that we can depend on him. We thank you that he knows our needs and that he is able to answer when we call out to him. Lord, help us to live daily by faith in our Savior. We pray this in his precious name. Amen.